Our next topic is administrative developments surrounding wellness rules. As you may know, the ADA regulations allow employers to provide wellness programs to employees that involve disclosing medical information so long as participation in those programs is voluntary. So the question is, at what point do incentives for those programs make the program involuntary? You may remember in 2016, the EEOC issued final rules stating that up to 30% of total cost of employee-only coverage continued to make participation voluntary, that employers could offer an incentive up to 30% of that total cost. That rule was challenged, and the 30% incentive rule was vacated because the court determined it was arbitrary. In the waning days of the Trump administration, the EEOC issued notice of proposed rulemaking January of this year, 2021, stating that no more than de minimis incentive levels will be allowed before incentive makes the participation in the program involuntary. And we really mean de minimis. They gave examples of, for example, a water bottle for participating. A couple weeks later, January 20 of 2021, those proposed regulations were withdrawn by the Biden administration in a regulatory freeze. Current status, if you look at the EEOC website, says next steps are under consideration. So we will wait and see on those. Let's look to judicial developments on disability issues now. Some very interesting cases to review in this presentation. The first topic is impairments. As you know, under the Amendments Act, disability is very broadly defined. There are three prongs to the disability definition, including a physical or mental impairment, substantially limiting one or more major life activities, a record of such an impairment, what we call record of claims, or when a covered entity takes an action that's prohibited by the ADA because of an actual or perceived impairment that is not transitory or minor, what we call regarded as claims. Well, there's certainly not an exhaustive list of what broadly defined disabilities include. The EEOC regulations do provide examples, such as physiological disorders or conditions, cosmetic disfigurements or anatomical losses that substantially limit major life activities, or any mental or psychological disorder that causes such a substantial limitation. Although broadly defined, disability isn't limitless. Certainly, there are statutory exclusions to what's considered a disability. One example is the current illegal use of drugs. But let's talk about some examples that aren't specifically named in the statute. In the Darby case, page 19 of the outline involved a genetic mutation. The employee notified her employer that she had breast cancer and would be undergoing a double mastectomy. She alleged in response to that, her employer harassed her about her leave and her surgery, ultimately terminated her for being unable to work. The district, in litigation, discovery revealed that the employee was not diagnosed with cancer, but instead had a family history of cancer and a genetic mutation, which did lead the doctor to recommend her surgery. As a result, the district court said, not an impairment. She's not protected by the ADA. Sixth Circuit hit the brakes and reversed that decision, saying the employee's condition was an impairment. It substantially limited normal cell growth, and her doctors had identified abnormal cell growth in her body. A caveat here, genetic mutations that merely predispose an individual to medical conditions are not disabilities. Instead, must be substantially limited by a major life activity, not just that there is a potential to be so limited. Under the regarded as disabled prong that we just considered, again, an actual or perceived impairment that's not transitory and minor, there's an exclusion for those disabilities. Here in the Eshelman case, a Third Circuit case on page 25 of your outline, an employee took leave for surgery to remove a lung nodule for a cancer test. Following a leave for that surgery, he returned, but approximately 6 weeks later needed another five-day leave for a respiratory infection. He was terminated. After that five-day leave, the employer alleged there were behavioral issues, but he said, no, it was because they regarded me as disabled. The employer said no regarded as claim. This is transitory, minor, and the court disagreed. The court said the employee had plausibly pled a non-minor perceived impairment. Whether a disability is minor is a case-by-case and fact-specific analysis. But the court said here, the employer has the burden to show both that the condition is transitory and minor to avoid the regarded as claim. Here, it may be transitory, but the court said not minor, and the employer needed to prove both to avoid a regarded as disabled claim.